Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Smith Inc. November webinar and podcast episode. If you're joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. You can just use the Ask a Question function on your GoToWebinar control panel, and that will be answered at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. And now I'll hand over to David Smith, our Smith Inc. Director, to present seven discussions you need to have with your clients. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Andrea. Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning, depending on wherever you are. I can't believe it's November. I suspect all of you are in exactly the same light that the year seems to have flown by. Anyway, this webinar is an issue which is very close to my heart about how firms can develop services beyond those core compliance services. And so what I want to do is just go through what I think is the right process to follow and some ideas to sort of get in your mind about how you can improve the conversations with your clients to unlock opportunities to help them in a broader way about their business and their personal financial life. So I think the first element to ponder is what is the role of a partner or a manager in an accounting firm? And the thing which I really think is important here is to understand that I think your role is to be very much to love your client to death and get a great understanding about what are the issues that their client is facing and is concerning them. And one of the problems with this is we've found over the years is that when you're having conversations with the client, it's very hard to have that conversation with the client if you think that they're going to start to raise issues where you don't have the skills or the expertise to be able to help them. For instance, the client might be in business and they've got an issue with their marketing, or they might have an issue with how they're managing their inventory. And they're issues which are sort of outside your core expertise. And so that can cause a hesitancy about asking questions in those areas. And yet, from the client's perspective, it's very important to them. And so what I think one of the key aspects here is to build a network of experts around you, be it HR, IT, marketing, public relations, inventory management, financial planning, legal, on and on it goes, for all of the things that a client might possibly need, so that when you have this broad-based discussion with the client, you can have this confidence that it doesn't matter what issue the client raises, you're able to help them with it. Without that next network of advisors, you'll always have that hesitancy. The next element of this is how you use these third-party advisors. And the biggest mistake that I see many firms is throwing the client over the fence to the advisor. So they say to the client, go and see this lawyer and they'll help you with that particular issue. I think that is absolutely the wrong way to do this. You're the person who the client trusts. Over many years, you've built that trusted relationship with the client. The third party advisor, the client's never met and doesn't really have the trust. So the way to move the trust is you say to the client, look, I'm going to organise a meeting where the lawyer or the HR person or whoever it may be, they're going to come to our office and we're going to sit together and brief that, that third party advisor. And then your job is then to project manage that relationship with that third party advisor. And so the client has this confidence all the time that you're the person who is looking after their best interest and ensuring that that third-party advisor is providing the services in the right way to meet those clients' needs. I think that is such a critical element in terms of using third-party advisors. And once again, that gives the client the perception that it doesn't matter what the issue is, you're able to help them. And you want the client to start thinking that way so that they think that you're a much broader advisor than just in the tax and accounting world. Now, in order to unlock the opportunity to provide additional services to your client, you need to create a regular, repeatable process. Now, many of you would have heard Mark Holton and I go on over the years about doing needs reviews, interviews with the client. And I'll be getting to that a little bit later on because that's a key element here. And a needs review discussion with a client is really a discussion which is about trying to get the client to talk to you about the issues that are concerning them, life events that are happening, things that are happening in their business that maybe you can help them with. And the problem that the thing which I think many firms get wrong is that they say, yes, we need to do these needs review discussions and I will do them during the year. And that's all very well, but what happens is that the compliance vortex comes along and we get sucked into the compliance work and we never end up getting the time to do these needs reviews discussions. So the net result for me, the recommendation for me is you need to embed this needs review discussion into that compliance work. And so as part of the compliance job, you're ensuring that you're doing the needs review discussion. The right time to do that needs review discussion is at the end of job where you're going through their financials and the like. Spend some extra time to do this needs review discussion at the same point, which means that every client every year is having a needs review discussion. And if you implement it in that way and you consistently apply this process, I can guarantee you that there will be work emerging from it. It requires this dedication to consistently do it. Doesn't matter how busy you are, you need to ensure that you're able to do it. You also have to do it face to face. You can't do a needs review discussion through the postal system or through the email system. You need to do this face to face. So this is important that when you're doing these end of year discussions with the client, you need to get out there and you need to meet them. You need to look them in the eye and you need to be asking the sort of questions that will unlock what's happening in their world. So use this compliance sign-off meeting to have these discussions, but it also is also the time that you can set up next year's engagement, talk about the extra work that you could be doing for them as well. So what is this client development process? It's really, in my mind, a three-step process. And the first step of the process is you've got to do this needs review discussion, this open-ended discussion to get your client talking about what's happening in their world. The biggest mistake that I see most firms making in doing a needs review discussion is that they start asking the client, and during that discussion, issues arise. And when those issues arise, the tendency is to want to go into solutions mode and address those issues straight away and say, well, I can help you with that, and this is how I'd help you with that, and this is how I'd help you with that. And that creates two problems. The first problem is that if you're giving clients answers very quickly off the cuff, the client won't perceive the same value in that. The second issue that creates is that the client might start to think, well, this process is actually a selling process, and it's not actually, and they may be more hesitant to be open with you because they're perceiving it as a sales process. So when one's conducting a needs review discussion, your role is to ask questions and then shut up and take notes to understand what the concerns and issues the client has. And at the end of the meeting, you have a big long list of the issues that are concerning the client. Out of that, you then have another meeting with your own team. And what that is about is that you have a look at, here's all the things that the clients raise that they're concerned about. How can we help them? What's the services we could provide? And at what price might we provide those services to help the client? And so you're working up your service proposition. Then, a week to 10 days later, you say to the client, look, I'd like to meet you again. there were some things that came out of that earlier meeting, and I'd like to talk to you about how what those issues are and how maybe we could help you. And at that second client meeting, you repeat back to them, here's the things that you indicated in that last meeting that I think you were concerned about. And hopefully the client would affirm that and say, yes, I am concerned about those things. And then what you then do is say, well, we've thought about the issues that you're concerned about, those issues we've just discussed, and here's how we think we can help you with that. And you roll through those services and ask the client, well, what do you think about that? Would this help you resolve and deal with some of those issues? And hopefully the client will say yes to that. And that's at the point at which you can have discussions around pricing and the like. This three-step process is the way to actually achieve success. Ask questions and listen. Then determine how can we help the client with those issues, and then to communicate with the client what the solutions may be and how you may be able to help them get there. If you can consistently apply that three-step process, I think you'll be surprised at the results that you'll get. So what is a needs review? A needs review is about asking open-ended questions. And what I mean by open-ended questions is questions where the client cannot answer yes or no. They must answer you in a narrative. And the reason why that's important is it's in the telling of the narrative that you'll start to pick up issues. And the thing that you need to be doing when you're actively listening to the client is you need to be thinking about what's the next question I need to ask to go one level deeper in the issue that the client's talking about. Because very often when the client is talking to you, they'll be mentioning at a high level a concern they've got. But it's only when you ask why is that, and they have to give you an answer to that, you might ask why again, you might even ask why a third time, and you'll slowly drill into the issue to find out what's the core underlying problem that the client is trying to solve. At the top level, it may be more a symptom than the problem. You're trying to find the problem and get away from the symptom. That's why you need to be an active listener and really try and get to the depth of the issue. And this is about right across their entire spectrum, about their business, their personal finances, about their health, because that's important as well, about their retirement plans, about their family members and need for support, about succession, and about their desire for how much wealth they want to build in their life. All of these things need to be covered off in any discussion that you might be having. Now, we at Mark and I at Smith Inc. Over the years have developed a range of questions to help you ask appropriate questions and to get, you know, really thought starters to get a conversation with a client running. That's our 10 by 10 needs review, and I'll get Andrea to send a copy of this out to each of you who are on this webinar, so you'll have that in front of you. But to just give you some examples of the sorts of stuff that I think you need to be discussing, here, for instance, is 10 questions about business profitability improvement. And so this 10 by 10 needs review covers 10 major areas, and then there are 10 questions within that major area. And so if you look at this, these are questions that get the clients talking. What's the greatest success you've had over the last 12 months? If you could change one part of your business, what might that be? How is market conditions impacting your sales and profitabilities? How would you improve your marketing activities? As you can sell, all of these is about getting the client to give you a narrative. Come up with your own questions. I'm not suggesting that you should be following this rote. In fact, far from it. This is about giving you thought starters, things to start talking to the client about, then be an active listener, and then start asking your own questions. Now, many of you are aware that I've been advising professional service firms now since the early 2000, 2001. So I've been doing this for a fair amount of time now. And when I first started to do this, I was essentially doing a needs review of any professional service firm that I started to work with. So this is all about doing this regularly, and you get better at it as you do it. And so you may start off with a checklist like this to give you key questions to ask as thought starters to get the conversation running. But I guarantee you, over time, the more you do this, the less and less you'll need the checklist. And it's fair to say that for the last 13 years or more, I've never had a checklist. I just walk into a meeting and it's all sitting in my head. You do this enough, the checklist virtually becomes irrelevant. But as a way to start, it's a great way to get you started. Here's some more examples. Questions about business conditions. What external factors are affecting the performance of your business? How is your business different to your competitors? What's the potential for new competitors in the space? How do you feel about the future of your business? I like that question in particular because you're trying to unlock how people are feeling about their business. And, you know, ultimately, what one of the things that we're trying to achieve with needs reviews is we're trying to get to people's emotions. We're trying to understand how they're feeling about stuff, because if you can solve in the services that you're providing for your client solutions to the emotional concerns a client might have, that will be a big winner in the client, because nobody likes to walk around with a whole lot of, you know, fears and uncertainty and other emotional concerns. They want that stuff cleared away. So your job in doing this needs review is to try and unlock those emotional concerns and then design solutions to those emotional concerns. And if you do that on a regular basis, you'll have these clients for life, because what it shows the client is that you really care about them and you want to solve their deepest and most important issues that they're facing. Another set of questions around technology and process. How is technology impacting their business? What's the impact on productivity? How could they improve their customer service? A really simple question about improving customer service, what are the things they need to do, could unlock a whole lot of underlying issues in the business, problems that they need to solve. That's again what that thought starter question is trying to achieve. How might mobile technology change the way you engage with your customers? They say about consultants, one of the key things about consultants is that you ask the client enough questions, the client will give you the answer to solve their business problems for you. And to a certain extent, that's true. If you can get the client talking enough, more often than not, the client actually knows the solution to their problem. All you're doing is helping them articulate it and bring it out in the open so we can put it into a plan and execute on it. Clearly, risk management is a really big issue, a topic in its own right. If you look at question one here, what would happen to your family and business if you passed away? Such an important question. And yet many accountants would ask that question, but in a completely different way. And what many accountants will do, and other advisors are going to say, lawyers and financial planners, will say, do you have a will? Now, that is absolutely the wrong question to ask, because we need to know what that will might say. And so I like the question, well, walk me through what would happen if you got sick or died. And it's in the client telling you about what they would like to see happen that the number of times I've been involved in these discussions, that halfway through the discussion, the client sort of turns to you and says, actually, I've got a problem with my will, haven't I? Because when they're narrating how they would like to see it work, they're thinking to themselves, well, actually, my will doesn't do this. And that's why it's in the telling that it's important. it also means that you're able to look at the body language and get a perception around how they're feeling about these things. How does your current will meet your objectives? Clearly important. What concerns do you have about your fellow partners, directors, or shareholders? Clearly a big issue in any business is to ensure that you're culturally aligned with your fellow owners and directors. Really important to pull that out to ensure that everybody is on the same page, and a really big role to help them resolve those types of issues. And then, of course, questions about retirement and, you know, how long would your money last if you stopped working today? Taking everything into account, do you think your retirement plan is sustainable? Half the time, the client won't know the answers to the questions, to those questions. And if they don't know, that tells you something that you need to help them work out what those answers are. And then lastly, around family and personal. And it's in this area that I find many people are unwilling to ask the question, are feeling uncomfortable about it. So things like, what is concerning you regarding your family? Now, that's a reasonably personal question. I can tell you from doing this myself way back when I was in practice, that I remember asking that question to one of my clients, and the client said to me at the time, I think I'm going to separate from my wife. He hadn't told his wife at that time. In fact, in the talking to me about that particular issue, he actually broke down in tears. Whilst that was a difficult scenario, on reflection, you look, well, gee, he trusted me to that extent that he's willing to have that level of discussion. That's, to a certain extent, the objective, because then we spent a fair amount of time at a subsequent meeting where we really worked through, well, what's the ramifications of this? What's the wishes? How do you want to get this organised? So we're really able to give him some good thinking about how the issue should be addressed. So I think these family and personal questions are really critical in terms of getting down to the depths of the issues that really could be concerning your client. And I think you need to get the confidence to talk to them about this. You know, question five, what are you doing to ensure you stay healthy and keep stress under control? I couldn't tell you the number of times I've counseled my clients about exercise. And about doing things for themselves. I think as an advisor, you have to be willing to say what you think and to give clients advice even when they may not want to hear it. And that's not a bad example of that. So this needs review is not a checklist to be completed. So you don't sit there ticking it through and say, I've completed all that. It is a time to have a discussion with the client. And as I said earlier, it's you're not selling services, you're just listening. It's not a check, I've said that already. I've repeated that slide, my apologies. I've talked about all those areas of interest that need to be covered. You need to ask expansive questions. Now, third dot point here, this is the way you frame questions. How do you feel about it? What's your ideal end result? What problems are you trying to solve? Tell me about, describe, walk me through, help me understand. Any question starting with those items cannot be answered yes or no. So really concentrate on asking questions that way, and you'll have a very deep discussion with the client and unlock a whole lot of issues that I'm sure you are completely unaware about, which results in other ways you can help the client, and which is good for the client, but also good for your business. And even if you do the needs review and there's nothing you can do to help the client because they're perfectly organized, which is virtually never happens, but let's assume it did, what's the end result? The client will will realize and understand how much you care about them, which is not a bad result either. You need to be an active listener. Be in the moment. When the client says things to you, acknowledge them, nod your head, show that you're really listening to them and focusing on what they're saying. Sympathizing. The number of times when I talk to clients and they've had an issue, and somewhere in my life I've had a similar issue, and mentioned that briefly and try and build some rapport around it, gives clients confidence they're talking to somebody who really appreciates what their concerns may be. Paraphrasing back to them. What have I got this right? This is what you said to me. I do that quite regularly to make certain that the client is confident that I've heard them correctly, and you know, empathizing with their circumstances. So find a dialogue that you're comfortable with. You know, work out what's the type of opening question that you feel comfortable talking about. Kick the conversation off. And just let the conversation go. You might have in your mind four or five different thought starter questions, but most of the time it's about actively listening letting the conversation flow and asking why is that to drill a bit deeper. You know, I liken it to a fishing expedition. You sit down and you throw the line in the water. You don't know what you're going to catch. You throw a bit of burley out with some of these other questions and you see what comes back to you. That, in my mind, is the right way to deal with this. Don't have a preconceived notion about what is important to the client, because it may be something else in entirety. So just have some thought starters, have an open mind and actively listen. And then, of course, you know, I've mentioned all these personal questions as well that needs to be asked. Really important that we drill down into that. And then I said, as I say earlier, finish the needs review. Then you do internally with your team or another partner or manager, you scope the opportunity. How can we help the client? It's at that point you might think about pricing as well. And then you go back to the client and you pitch it in this second meeting. And then the only other thing which I realise that I'm virtually right up on time, the only other thing which I then mention is when you're talking to client about price, and I do believe that you should be trying to fix price most of this work. When you're talking to client about price and you say, well, here's the list of things that, based on that needs review discussion that we think you need, this is how much we're going to price that service. If the client then says to you, well, that's too much, I can't afford that, I can't pay that, you never reduce your price. So all you would then be saying to the client, well, that's fine, you've got that list of services there. Tell me which services we'll remove and maybe we might do that at a subsequent date and I'll give you a price for what's left. Got to remember that pricing is an art, not a science. It's about understanding value to the client. It's about understanding the skills of negotiation. All too often, I think many professional service people leave too much on the table, that they're actually creating a lot more value. And I think at the end of the day, this is not about ripping off the client, but it's about providing a service at the right value. We too often say that this is going to take 3 hours and price it based on the 3 hours, when in fact it's the 30 years of experience that has not been factored in effectively into that pricing. And we need to be better at capturing the value for ourselves as well as providing value to the client. So I've skated through that at 100 miles an hour. I hope I've given you some things to think about in terms of doing these needs reviews. You've got to do them consistently with every client every year. And if you can apply this needs review technique into your client discussions on a consistent basis, I can guarantee you, you'll find that there will be much more work flowing, and you'll have a much more interesting career because you'll be dealing with a whole lot of interesting issues, but you'll also have clients which are highly satisfied and feel as though you've really shown the love and deepened the trust between yourself and your client. So I hope that's a help, and I'll hand you back to Andrea.
Great. Thanks, David. Do you have time for a couple of questions? I've got a couple already, yeah, if you want to. Brilliant. So there's a couple here from Sharitha, which I'm just going to put together because they're about software providers. So how do we evaluate a software provider? There are multiple software in the market for advisory, Spotlight, Mouse, MYP, BStar, et cetera. What is the best?
Well, it depends what you're trying to achieve. There's probably four or five different categories. So you've got cash flow budgeting type software and products like Castaway and Calxa and those sorts of things sit in that space. And then you've got dashboard reporting type tools, which products like Spotlight and Futrely and others sit in that space. Now, I've got to say that there's crossover between all these things. There's scenario planning tools, which Fathom would sit in that space, as well as cash flow story. So, and then there's products which do needs review type questionnaires, which I must say I'm not a huge fan of because I think a needs review is more a discussion. That's where products like MYP have a product in their product set that covers that off, and others. So I think you need to be just mindful that there are a myriad of products out there in business advisory, but they do different things, and you need to work out what's your objective here. Are you really looking for a cash flow budgeting tool? Are you looking for a dashboard reporting tool? Are you looking for a scenario planning tool? Because they're all quite different things. The other thing I would say is try and keep it simple. Some of these tools have got the kitchen sink built into them. They've got everything. They do everything, but then become too complicated. Most of the time, keep it simple, because that's all you need from many of these tools to provide simple, easy to understand solutions to your client.
Great, thanks, David. Tanya's asked, if the client is interstate, is over the phone okay?
Over the phone is okay, but I'd much rather use Zoom or something. So I've done presentations on this before, but I'm a big believer in using video conferencing these days. It's still not perfect, but Zoom by far and away is the best technology. So Zoom.us, go and have a look at it. But I'd be trying to do this with video conferencing, because you really want to see the client and understand their body language. That's much better than telephone. I think everybody needs to really get the skills of presenting to a camera these days and getting confidence with that environment. It's an interesting day for me. I'm sitting in my home today, and I've got a full day's work, and the entire day I'm sitting talking to a video camera. So it's a bit of a weird day for me, but it's something one just needs to get used to doing.
Great, thanks, David. And last one from Sal, who's just asked if we get the slides, which I can answer for you, David. Yes, I'll be sending those out later today, along with the recording and the needs review document also that David mentioned. And that seems to be all the questions that we have at the moment, David.
Okay, thanks, Andrea. Thank you, everybody, and look forward to talking in another month or so. And if I don't talk to you beforehand, hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Cheers.
Great, thanks, everybody.